It's Yapi Burna Boy, title on this one. It's called the Jwalabam Remix on the Mid Mornings Affair with myself, Tlotlang Moletsane. We are joined by Candace Tirwa, founder of Curate and the Minister of Menstruation. Candace, welcome to Rise.
Welcome. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You've been at the forefront of reframing how society understands menstruation, not just as a health issue, but also as a dignity and human rights conversation. In your journey, what was the moment or insight that made you realize this work needed a completely new kind of voice and that you had to be that voice?
Whenever people ask me why the menstrual menstruation or why menstrual health, I always just go back to my first story, my first period story, which was really at the age of 10. I was very, very young. And I had my first period with no information and with a lot of fear, to be very honest. It was a moment where I felt like I was going to die, and I think a lot of young girls can resonate with that. But I think for me, the real turning point came for me 11 years later when I was coming across a lot of research in particular that young girls were able to go to school, they were able to feel empowered around a natural biological function because we were not providing the necessary education, the necessary advocacy, and also just normalizing menstrual health for what it is. So I think that's what struck with me, something that is so universal, something that happens to over 50% of the population in the world is treated as taboo or woman's business. So for me, I just wanted to let people realize that this menstrual health discussion really requires us to meet a human rights issue, and that is not just academic, it's not just about policy, it's really just about seeing and showcasing how period poverty in particular is structural violence. So yeah, I think it is complex from time to time, but I think the whole point of the Minister of Menstruation is really to normalize it and to tell everyone that they have a role in talking about menstrual health and that they have a role in ending period poverty too. Yeah.
You have become a pioneer with the work that you do, but that often means doing the work that isn't always understood or celebrated immediately. How have you navigated that resistance from institutions, communities, or even policymakers? And what has kept you anchored in the mission despite that pushback?
Yeah, I think one thing people need to realize, especially young people who are journeying as entrepreneurs or freelancers, what is the purpose you're trying to find? Resistance always show up, and I think that is the natural part of life, right? But I think within the case of menstruation, because menstruation is too political, too private, policymakers will see it as a side issue, and something that should just be dealt with in silence. And I think what really keeps me anchored is always the people I meet on the ground, whether it's learners in Limpopo, whether it's boys at a private school who ask questions about menstrual health, or the teachers who are admitting that they never talked about that themselves. I think when you're rooted in community, the pushback really becomes background noise. And one thing I want, like a lot of listeners, to realize is that I take every no as an invitation to find a new strategy. I don't take it as the finality of everything. And also, I think with the line of work that I'm in, work has really never been about the applause. It's always been about the impact. So once you've determined that you want to impact people and that you have a greater purpose beyond the profit and the applause and the awards, I assure you the resistance will just be like small things that you have to deal with. Yeah.
Let's talk about the shifts that you have observed since becoming a national advocate, and which ones you think still are painfully slow?
It's interesting. I think with period poverty, we are really seeing, especially from a quality perspective in South Africa, we're seeing national dialogue, we're seeing political debates, we're seeing budget conversations where there is some form of money going towards period products. The only issue is that we're not seeing the implementation on the ground. We're not really seeing the real impact that young girls will be able to see these period products in public spaces so that they're able to go to school. I think from a branding, government, civil society, private sector perspective, there is more willingness to at least acknowledge menstrual health as a dignity issue. But I think the pace is very uneven. It's very inconsistent. So because the policy is slow, governments, I mean, policy people, corporations are not willing to catch up because they don't know what the framework is. They don't know what the policy is. So I think when we are able to really lobby governments to say that this needs to be treated as a human rights issue, as a universal care issue, then everything else in terms of, and also behavioral change will come to the forefront. And I think individuals, men, boys included, will slowly talk about periods openly. It's not to say that there's no progress. I just think because it's so inconsistent, it's really hard to know what progression we're making, what direction we're heading in. But at least there is some movement. So there is a little bit of positivity in that sense. Yeah.
Candace, we're running out of time, but just before I let you go, you're somebody that's shaping global conversations on menstrual health. What does the future of menstrual advocacy look like to you? Are we moving towards innovation, towards policy reform, or a deeper cultural re-education? And where do you see the next frontier that still needs a champion?
Well, for me, I think I don't want to be academic about it. I think for me, it's the next generation of people who menstruate, especially young girls, who can start their period with confidence and preparation and not shame and fear. I think when we see innovation, education, policy coming to the forefront, we will see young people, in particular young girls, women, have confidence and power to talk about menstrual health. We'll see young boys be able to be advocates and allies to be supportive. We'll see men be supportive husbands, supportive fathers. And ultimately, we'll just be able to shrug our shoulders and say, oh, I'm on my period. And be like, well, is there anything I can do to help?
Yeah.
Rather than just being quiet. Yeah.
Candace, thank you for coming on to the show. We wish you all the best with this mission that you're on. I hope there are more ears that are willing to listen to the problems that so many communities face when it comes to period poverty, because it is a deep, serious issue that we have. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me.